Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw on the wisdom of the saints. You're with Dan and Stephanie Burke, and we're talking about tough stuff. As you know, listeners who are regularly a part of this show, we talk mostly about the interior life and how to configure ourselves, you know, fully to Christ. And we leave political activism and conversations about politics to other people.
Or to the dinner table when we're alone.
Yeah, right, when we're alone. Not on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's right.
But once a year or so, we deal with it. Now, are we involved in the pro-life movement? In a sense, yes, because what we're doing is we're preparing hearts to receive the truth and sometimes the difficult to swallow truth for those who are on the other side of this issue and have not yet had an awakening. Our goal is to bring about that awakening.
That's right.
So that they can be affected by good people like Lila Rose, David DeLite, and those working in the pro-life.
Radiance Foundation. Radiance. They do great work.
Yeah, you know, just before we jump in, I think I want to mention one of my favorite pro-life organizations in terms of ingenuity. Mm-hmm. And what's our friend's work? Is it Life on Wheels? Is that what it's called?
Life on Wheels in Birmingham, Alabama, and Montgomery.
Montgomery,
they're both locations. Yeah. So if you ever want to support them, they do wonderful work. They have buses with ultrasounds in them to help women and then get them the resources they need once they see that baby in utero.
Yeah.
And they're just wonderful people.
Yeah. So. Awesome stuff. Is there a website they have? Probably Life on Wheels.
Life on Wheels. Yeah. Yeah. They're really great.
All right. So you wanted to, so in the last show, we were just talking through Lila's statement of why she's voting for Trump.
Yeah.
And why the Trump platform will prevent the most evil.
Right.
It's the way I want to look at it. But let's talk some more about the problems with the Republican platform, even though we both voted Republican and will continue to do so.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to wrap up with this last, because it can sound like with this last victory for mm-hmm. the pro-life allies, because it can sound like it's all just gone to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
But there was some wins, you know, some progress made. She did have a 2-hour, Lila Rose had a 2-hour visit with the former President Trump at mm-hmm. the time. And he listened to her. He listened to her disagreements with his platform and was genuinely interested in what she had to say. So that was incredible that he would give her that kind of time. So then there was some other progress that was made. When enough pro-life allies expressed their outrage and threatened to withhold their vote, Trump reversed his position on Amendment 4. And this is in Florida, which would have legalized abortion through all 9 months in his home state of Florida and expressed his opposition to it. So that was a win. That was a win that the pro-lifers had a voice. They expressed it to him. They said, you need to speak up on this. This is unacceptable. And he did oppose it. And so it was not ratified in Florida. So God be praised on that. But I think, you know, what we really need to talk about. So like in, you know, she does say she's deeply concerned for the future of the Republican Party, which looks increasingly like the Democratic Party on life and marriage. I think there's still stark differences.
Yeah.
You know, the Democratic Party right now is for death.
Yeah.
Right. Death. Beginning to end, yeah. After birth, before, yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're radical, and I don't think you can compare them. I mean, there's death and death, but then there's radical death.
But what you said is true.
They are sliding.
Republicans are moving that direction.
Right. And where does that leave millions of Americans who stand for life and marriage? I mean, we're just at a tough time.
Yeah.
And I think it was, in my mind, I've said this, I think J.D. and Trump, made a strategic move that they would not be able to win
the election
without being somewhere middle of the road, let's say, which it's hard to even imagine because a life is a life is a life. And I am completely pro-life from conception to natural death. 100%. And I wish it was a completely pro-life party, but we are where we are. And we have swung so dark in the United States and around the world, because I can tell you, we were just in Trinidad and, you know, we talk about the problems that are going on there or the problems in Costa Rica where my family's from, or when we go out and travel out into the world on pilgrimage. And I always feel like I need to apologize for what America has spread all over the world, what we're exporting. It's heartbreaking, right? And where our country goes, it gets spread all over the world. And we have to recognize that fact. We need to repent. We need to repent and make reparations through our prayers and sacrifices. But to expect this to get turned around is not, it's not reasonable. We've gone too far. What we have to do is now say, where are we? How do we deal with whatever this outcome is going to be? Because we don't know at this recording of this podcast. I have my I voted, you know, sticker on, and we don't even know what the results are going to be. I'm praying all day long today for the results of this. I'm praying that tomorrow we won't all be weeping at the destruction that's hit our country.
Well, and let's talk about that.
But if it happens, what are we going to do?
Yeah, because I won't be weeping no matter what happens. And why? And, I, you know, just this morning I was working on a summary of what we're doing with Priestly Formation and how we're partnering with three seminaries and how, you know, we have our cadre that puts us up over 600 guys that we've been forming for priestly life, and doing so in the deepest and most important ways as it relates to truly knowing Jesus and truly having a relationship with him, so that the future leaders of our church are super clear on these issues and thereby teaching their congregations. Because there are a lot of priests who listen to our podcast, and I have no doubt that those who do are faithful and do say something, but it would be foolish to say there are a lot who are not and don't say anything, or are, you know, sort of enter into the subterfuge of, well, I don't know which party's worse, you know. Well, it's not hard. And if you're doing that, yeah, I would say, you know, you're deluded, you're a coward, you're something that's deeply problematic. But where we have to focus is in two areas. And when I say we, you know, I mean Catholic, devout Catholics. One is we have to work for revival in the Catholic Church. Because if the Catholic vote was pure, the election would be a runaway win. And I don't think the Republican Party would have to capitulate as widely to, you know, varying degrees of commitment related to the pro-life cause. So that's what we do, is we work to help people's hearts to be deeply converted so that they vote the right way. But I do also think that there needs to be a great emphasis put in pro-life organizations like Live Action, what Lila Rose is doing, what David DeLighton is doing, so that, because they're doing the best work of educating the church. So we need to invest in the priestly formation, like what we're doing here at the Avila Foundation, Avila Institute. And we need to invest in the lay formation, like, because we don't do lay formation in that area. We do lay formation in the terms of conversion of heart, but the specific formation about what is IVF, you know, what is an abortion, what's truly happening in the different parties, right, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, their voice needs to go far and wide. But I do think, you know, not to contradict you, but I do think there is a place for weeping.
I understand.
And I the reason I say that is because you and I have lived our life. Mm-hmm. Our children are all grown and they're making their own way forward. I weep for them mm-hmm. because they're young.
Sure.
I weep for my granddaughter. I weep for any of my future grandchildren, my children's children's children, generations who will be faced with the darkness that is in this country. Yeah. So I am praying fervently. I did the 54-day novena for the election that Ripperger put out. I'm currently in the consecration to Our Lady of Guadalupe that Cardinal Burke put out. I'm praying that one fervently for not just this country, but the world. There is so much sin, right? There is so much brokenness. We have literally failed generations by poor catechesis, either blatantly bad catechesis on all issues Catholic, on all issues of morality, or we've lost them to just our own brokenness, to a lack of prayer, to the cowardliness of our leaders, our pastors, not to speak truth on what it means to follow Christ. And I think there has to be a place for tears and reparation for that, no matter who wins. Sure. Really, no matter who wins.
Well, but, because both sides, to your point, are not a clean victory.
No, no, it won't be a clean victory. One is clearly less evil.
One's clearly a law. Sorry. Go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt.
One is completely evil.
Yeah.
Completely death.
Yeah.
Demonic, satanic. I mean, it can't get any worse. If somebody says, you know, Jesus is Lord at your rally and you say, I think you're in the wrong rally, there's something like that. Out of her heart, she spoke when she said that,
right,
which is horrifying. And then to quote scripture as if she's speaking to church at a different rally. And I mean, I can't even listen. It just makes
sickening.
It's very sickening. So there is clearly one that is less evil, that promotes less evil, that will do less harm
the most evil.
Right. And bring about a greater good economically, et cetera, for the country and safety for the world. So I think all those things are important. But then I think, you know, when we come back for the break, I think we need to talk about where there are victories, where the victory lies, and the victory lies with Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's still on his throne. And what does that look like for all of us moving forward after this election, no matter what happens?
Right.
Where do we live and breathe? Where do we stand? Where is our dignity and our worth? Where is our prayer? You know, after this election happens, where do we find our peace? And what does that look like?
Amen. So we'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life, those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
Welcome back. This is Dan Stephanie Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio. You're watching us in our conversation. I would call it an uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
Painful conversation.
Painful, yeah.
Painful conversation. You know, by the time you're hearing this, it's post-election. And the reason we decided to do this show is because we wouldn't really change the message, because there are two messages. One is, if Harris wins, this country is just going to continue its descent into darkness, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah. And we have to be
spiritually ready for that.
Right.
We have to be spiritually ready for that. Yeah. And the other is Trump wins, but he wins with a problematic platform.
And a broken country.
Right. And, you know, and so, yeah, we got to get behind him and see and do what Lila Rose did. And, you know, the fact that she's done so much for the pro-life movement is why she got 2 hours with Trump and why she was able to convince him
to
make some adjustments.
Right.
But the fact is she has access, you know, as a trust, you know, as someone is respected enough to give 2 hours to, that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
So we need to continue to support her and her work.
And others, you know, Action, yeah. Radiance Foundation, yeah. Life on Wheels,
yeah,
Life locally, on right?
What we need to understand in both circumstances is, okay, God allows us or causes all things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a theological fact. However difficult it is for people to stomach this idea, mm-hmm. it's true.
It is true. And we will be given the leaders that we need. It may be that we deserve them. It may be that we need them. I don't know what it's going to be. We won't know until tomorrow. But the thing is he's either going to allow or cause whatever it happens through our free will, voting or lack of voting, our voice or lack of voice. And it's going to roll out and our country is going to go that direction. And it may be a day of reckoning for all of us. So what does that look like? How do we move forward? And I think the answer is not different than how we've been moving forward the last 4 years, because it hasn't been a piece of cake. I know a lot of people are suffering under the economy, suffering under the current situation, the policies, the darkness that we've been sliding into. Moving forward, how do we live in hope?
Yeah.
A hope rooted in Christ Jesus as Lord.
And here's the good thing about the last decade of politics. It has taught us something I knew because I was in part of the moral majority decades ago under Reagan and the following years, where there was this perception that the evangelical world was, you know, in power and abortion was going to be ended and all of that. It never happened, of course.
And that the answer was politics.
Right. See, I've always known that the answer, because of my experience in the moral majority, I've known that there's this delusion that the answer is in politics. Now, politics provides an important cover. You know, politics provides freedom for us to operate and live in our faith. But we really need philanthropists. We really need people of faith to give to institutions that are teaching the faith. And we can't, and unfortunately, we can't always look to the church for that. You know, if I believe this is true, and I could be, you know, I'm sure all of this whole conversation is going to get a lot of criticism. I believe if all the money that was put towards elections was funneled towards faith formation, you could see a revival in this country toward institutions who do faith formation, like us, like Sophia Institute Press, you know, Ignatius Press.
Action-oriented faith formation,
right?
Things where we're not talking about ideas,
we're doing it.
We're actually doing it. Like, right. What is happening? Where is the action taking place that is changing the internal workings of the church at its core level?
Which, like, happens at the heart.
It happens at the heart. So people becoming people of prayer, and those people of prayer getting involved in their parishes, and priests learning how to pray and be faithful. You know, all of that is so, it will utterly change the church.
The other one is parishioners supporting priests who are already faithful and,
right.
and prayerful men of God. And often we don't do that very well.
Right.
So our call to you is, yes, you're right, Stephanie, that there can be a time of weeping and mourning and reparation, but there we got to get up from that. and say, okay, what's next?
What's next, Lord? What's
and
next?
And what's next is we have to become holy.
Yeah.
If we individually aren't holy, and the thing I wish people understood, we saw it mostly in the exorcism ministry where you have a possessed person that can't even walk into our home. The power of the present
prayer.
Grace in pushing back darkness,
yeah,
we've seen is absolutely extraordinary.
Prayer is power.
Yeah, and I want to say what you're saying is true in like this macro level, but it isn't. It's powerful because God answers prayer.
Right. Well, yeah. It's powerful because we pray.
Right.
And we change.
Right.
And then the world changes around us.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
In our prayer, it's not that we're putting in a quarter and saying, you know,
exactly.
Lord, give me X. That doesn't, you know, there is a time for petition, atonement, for all the different parts of the Mass, mm-hmm. you know, where we, you know, beg at the feet of the Lord, like a beggar, and say, Lord, help us, mm-hmm. help us in this Mass, or help us in the Mass of our family, or whatever it is. We need to be humble before our God. And we need to love him, but also allow ourselves to be loved by him. And the thing is when we encounter him, you will know, like you will know without a doubt that you've met your God, and you will have a desire to change. You will have a desire to be humble. You will have a desire to change, to make reparation, to live differently, you know? And when we do, it changes everything. It changes everything.
So if there's one thing I'll never forget, this conversation I've related to you before, but not that often. Never forget the conversation with the women who founded our spiritual direction program.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, they do jail ministry. They told me, they right. corrected me. So it's more of a temporary situation or whatever. They do jail ministry, and they said, and I asked them, if you could get a person in jail to do one thing that is the game changer, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, praying with the Gospels, and
mental
essentially
prayer.
Meaning getting to know Jesus
right.
through mental prayer.
Christian meditation, mental prayer.
Yeah.
Right.
So the challenge we have for all of you out there, and the thing that we've given our life to, is helping people understand what it means to really know him. Because so many of us people don't really know him.
Even good people don't yeah. know him.
And that's not a judgment we make mm-hmm. based on, oh, we look around and we're better and you're bad. And, you know, it's a judgment we make based on how people live, based on what the polls say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the surveys speak clearly to a person saying, I believe this and I live this.
Right.
And it's not hard to find the contradiction. So the surveys reveal, just by self-revelation, that most Catholics don't know their faith, they don't know God, and they don't live their faith. And that's why the darkness is descending. And the way that we fight back that darkness is to get as many Catholics as we can to really understand. So if you've never taken a class at the Avila Institute, we've never watched our free series on mental prayer. It's a free film series.
Spiritualdirection.com/pray.
Right. Free film series. Our free series on spiritual warfare and discernment of spirits.
Spiritualdirection.com/warfare.
Right. So it is, we're not doing this to make money. Nobody here is making.
All of this is free.
Nobody here is getting rich. We have one vehicle and it's a pickup and it has 80 something thousand miles on it that we own. So nobody's here getting rich. What we're doing is we're trying to advance the kingdom of God, because that's what we know
yeah.
is the answer, both here and in eternity.
Yeah. I mean, the goal is to be holy. And I'll go back to this memory at my first retreat, my first silent retreat. And I was a newbie at learning how to pray. I was probably 39, 40. And I'm kneeling before the Lord in the Eucharist, and the priest is... Yes.
Oh, go ahead. I just know when did Teresa of Avila have her conversion? Was it?
It was around the same. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, so the priest is kneeling and he's incensing the Lord in the monstrance in the Blessed Sacrament. And he prayed this prayer and he said, make us holy, make us holy, make us holy. And in the moment, I was so poorly catechized, I was scandalized. And I was like, can we say that? You know, and so when I met for direction, I said, Father, can we say that? Can we ask God to make us holy? Mm-hmm. And he said, Stephanie, isn't that the goal? And it was just, it was a very cute moment because of my naivete and my lack of understanding. But I say that to you because I know that there are listeners out there who don't know that.
Yeah.
They can go, oh yeah, yeah, I'm supposed to be a saint. Mm-hmm. But in their discouragement and their brokenness, they don't know what that means. And I'm telling you, God wants you to be holy. He mm-hmm. wants to make you a saint. Beg him for it. Ask him for it. Go to confession. Go to Mass. Go to Mass as often as possible. Start a daily practice of mental prayer, even if it's only 15 minutes on the Gospels. Get to know your Jesus, because he desperately wants to know you. And in getting to know him, you will become a saint. You will change, and the world will change around you. This is the call. This is how we change the direction of this country. And I exhort you to please do so.
Amen. And of course, we have endless resources
right.
to help people to do that. SpiritualDirection.com. I think well over 3,000 articles, videos.
At least millions of readers all over the world.
Yeah.
AvilaInstitute.com.org.
Avila-Institute.
Yeah. Avila-Institute.
Yeah.
And then ApostoliVA.org.
Yes.
4,000 members worldwide.
It's a community dedicated yeah. to living the contemplative life. If you yeah. need support from others and doing the same thing yeah. that you're doing or you that you want to do, there is no excuse to get where you need to be.
And time is short.
Time is short. Way shorter than most of us ever think.
Right.
And we don't want to be surprised at our last judgment. We'll nope. be ready.
Nope.
We want to know him, so he says,
well done, good and faithful servant. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.